dark and cold, there is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his home. Carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the hopeless, confused and torn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle, go light your world. Take your candle, go light your world. Frustrated brother, see how he's tried to light his own candle some other way. See now your sister, she's been robbed and lied to, still holds a candle without a flame. Carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the lonely, the tired and worn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle, go light your world. Take your candle, go light your world. We are a family whose hearts are blazing, so let's raise our candles and light up the sky, praying to our Father in the name of Jesus. Make us a beacon in the darkest times. Carry our candle, run to the darkness, seek out the helpless, deceived and poor. Hold out your your candle, go light your world. Take your candle, go light your world. Carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the hopeless, confused and torn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle, go light your world. Take your candle, go light your world. Take your candle, go light your world.
Feel you, I will not fear. I will trust in you, and I will not be afraid. And when the battle is close at hand, I know you're with me to help me stand. I will trust in you, and I will. Shore and all the battles they've gone before. trust in you. I will 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 trust in you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jim LaShauna, and I serve as the superintendent of the Friends Churches here in the Northwest Yearling Meeting. And I'm delighted to be able to share with you a message today. I'm thankful that Pastor Don Walters invited me to share with you, and we've just delighted being able to worship with you in the past at Tigard Community Friends Church, and glad to be able to be a part of this with you today, too. What I'd like to share with you today are some thoughts from Scripture that relate to just some things that I think all of us are experiencing to some extent in relation to challenges and opportunities. I was reminded of a story recently about an airplane ride, and I don't know if any of you have traveled on an airplane recently or not, but you know that it's a little bit different right now with COVID-19. Well, this one particular flight, I don't know if it was during the pandemic, but there was hardly anybody on the plane. In fact, there were just three people, a pastor, a Boy Scout, and the smartest man in the world, along with the pilot. So I guess there were four people on the plane, pilot, pastor, Boy Scout, and smartest man in the world. Well, they were flying along fine when all of a sudden the pilot came rushing back into the cabin and said, "We are going down, and there are only three parachutes, and I'm taking one of them." And so he ran over, grabbed one of the parachutes, put it on, opened the door, jumped out. Well, the next person, the smartest man in the world, said, "Clearly, I need to be saved. I am the smartest man in the world." And so he took a parachute, put it on, jumped out of the plane. Well, about that time, the pastor, he looked at the young Boy Scout and said, "Son, I have lived a good life. I love the Lord. I know where I'm going." And as he's in the middle of this very pastoral moment, the young boy said, "Pastor, sorry to interrupt you, but you don't need to worry. There's still two parachutes left. The smartest man in the world just jumped out with my backpack." Well, anyway, I don't know about you, but I think sometimes these challenging days that we are all experiencing can kind of be like that. It's like, you know, we're flying along in this plane when all of a sudden somebody tells us, "Hey, this plane is, it's going down." Or maybe you have even experienced one of those moments where it feels like somebody took your parachute. I don't know what kinds of challenges you are experiencing today, but I know that there are a lot of challenges that people are experiencing in general in our world. Who would have thought just, you know, a year ago that we'd be in the middle of a pandemic that has lasted so long? And then, of course, other things that have been layers upon layers: social unrest, financial challenges, again with COVID, but even other things, health challenges for many people. And then that's to say nothing about this election that is coming up that has captured the attention of many people and the seething tension that seems to be there for many people. Those are things that are going on in general in our world, and probably if we took a personal inventory, we'd be aware that there are a lot of personal challenges that many of us have been experiencing as well. And of course, we all want to be praying for Mary, Don's wife, as Mary Walters is having surgery on Monday. But, you know, we all have moments. What I want to suggest to you today is that the flip side of every challenge is an opportunity. What do I mean by that? Well, we're going to look at a few passages of Scripture here, just for a few moments. The first is in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 8 and 9. Now, what's going on in this passage? He's toward the end of this letter, and he's kind of giving people a little heads up about what's been going on. He says, I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost. So that's where he's been, is in Ephesus. He says, because a great door of effective work is opened to me. Wonderful. It's these great opportunities, he's saying. A great door of effective work is open to me. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on and says, and there are many who oppose me. What? I mean, he's just said he's going to stay there because great things are happening. And you would think the rest of that sentence would be like an explanation of that, of all the wonderful things. But no, he says this great door is opened, but there are many who oppose him. Now, I don't know about you, but when there have been people in my life who've been opposed to me for whatever reason, I'm not actually feeling like that those are good, fun days. I don't know if Paul actually thought that he was having fun, but he clearly states that he's planning to stay there because he sees God at work. The flip side, he's experiencing a challenge, many who oppose him, but he understood that God was at work. Now, what's really going on there? What's behind this verse? This is one of the neat things of Scripture, that we actually see the historical account in one of the other books in the New Testament. What he's referring to is something that was taking place that we read about in Acts chapter 19. And what's going on is, well, honestly, many people who are coming to know Jesus as their Savior and Lord. And what it says in Acts 19, verse 23, let me just read this for you. It says, about that time, there arose a great disturbance about the way. And the way was one of the early nicknames for Christians. There arose a great disturbance about the way. There's that opposition. And then it explains it. It says, a silversmith named Demetrius, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought in no little business for the craftsmen. He called them together along with the workmen in related trades and said, men, you know we receive a good income from this business, and you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus, and in practically the whole province of Asia. He says that man-made gods are no gods at all. There is danger not only that our trade will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited, and the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty. Well, the passage goes on and says, when they heard this, they were furious and began shouting, great is Artemis of the Ephesians! And soon the whole city was in an uproar, and the people seized a couple of Paul's traveling companions, Gaius and Aristarchus, and rushed as one man into the theater. Paul wanted, it says, to appear before the crowd, but the other disciples would not let him. It says even some of the officials of the province, friends of Paul, sent him a message begging him not to venture into the theater. There was a huge uproar. In fact, it was a near riot. It goes on and says that the assembly was in confusion, some shouting one thing, some another. And then I love this line. It says, most of the people did not even know why they were there. You ever seen one of those kind of circumstances? Yeah, we've seen some riots here in the United States in this last year. And some, I'm sure, were very purposeful and committed and understood their cause. Yeah, chances are there were some people who were caught up in those things, didn't even understand why people were rioting. They just were a part of it. Well, it seemed like that was going on back in the first century, too. And Paul was in the middle of it. It was a challenge. Those were challenging days. There was great opposition that arose. But Paul saw with some spiritual eyes that God was at work and that people were coming to know him as Savior and Lord. In fact, so much so that they were turning from their false idols to worship the one true God. The flip side of every challenge is an opportunity to see God work. The flip side of every challenge in our lives is an opportunity to trust the Lord. Let me give you another illustration of this. It was just a couple of chapters before this in the book of Acts for the Apostle Paul. It's back in Acts chapter 16. And in this particular occasion, Paul and Silas had been preaching the gospel, and as was happening back in the first century, they were getting in hot water for it. And in fact, they were put into prison in this place called Philippi. And it says about midnight, and this is reading of verse 25 of chapter 16 in Acts. It says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. So they're locked up in jail, and what are they doing? They're praying and singing hymns. And it says the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. This was a serious earthquake. The natural thing, spending 30 years in Southern California, I've been in places where there were some pretty significant earthquakes. A natural thing is to want to get cover. If you're in prison and all the doors fly open and your chains come off, the natural thing would have probably been to run away, right? They didn't. They didn't run. It says in the next verse that the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword. He was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." And the jailer called for lights. He rushed in. He fell trembling. Anyway, you can read the rest of that passage. What ends up happening? Paul and Silas share Jesus with him. In the middle of their challenge, being in jail, they saw that as an opportunity to pray and to worship. And out of that, it led to evangelism, somebody coming to know Jesus. I don't know about you, but sometimes this COVID season, it's kind of felt like being in jail. You know what I mean? Whether it's an official quarantining or not, things are just different. It feels restrictive to many. Well, how's your heart? What's God been saying to you during these days? For Paul, he saw those challenges as opportunities to pray and to praise, to worship. And he saw them as opportunities to share Jesus. In the middle of the challenges, he continued to see God at work. My friends, I want to encourage you to join me in that same kind of pursuit, to see with new eyes, even as we see the challenges around us, to recognize that God is still at work. He's still on the throne. He's still in charge. The God who was faithful to Paul in the past is the same God who desires to be faithful to you and me in the future. To see those challenges and to recognize the flip side of every challenge is an opportunity. The way my grandma used to put it, she was a real prayer warrior, and she would say that our extremities are God's opportunities. And that's true for you and me. There's something coming up that I want to encourage you to see as one of those opportunities. Next month, something that Dan Kamek, a part of Tigard Community Friends Church, and I have been actively working on, is something called the International Friends Church Multiplication Conference. And you could go onto the Northwest Yearly Meeting website to find out more information about it. But this conference is something that Dan and I were in a conversation 4 years ago when God gave us this vision to have an international conference in 2020. Little did we know. It was impossible. We couldn't have known that it would be in the middle of a pandemic when all the world would be aware of great need, unifying the world in ways, boy, unlike almost anything else, at least in my lifetime. And not only that, but an international conference that is using technology like Zoom and YouTube, there is no way that we could have anticipated, but that God has been preparing. Do you realize that people are using those tools around the world today like never before, in part directly related to this pandemic? Just like we're using technology today to communicate, people all over the world are using technology. The opportunity to share the gospel and to connect and to pray and to consider how God wants us to step forward and to reach out in evangelism and starting new churches, opportunities are there like never before. I'm so thankful Donna shared with me some of the things that Tigard Friends have been doing recently, the coat drive, the 500 coats that have been donated and distributed, the ongoing food pantry sharing. These are wonderful opportunities during a time of need, seeing opportunities to share Jesus. My friends, I want to encourage you to continue in that kind of pursuit and to see these challenging days as opportunities for God to work. So here are a couple of, you'd almost call these queries, or at least some questions to think about. In the middle of the challenges, where is God working? In the middle of the challenges, am I turning to Him in prayer and praise? And in the middle of the challenges, am I aware of the doors of opportunity that God may be opening for me? Am I aware of the doors of opportunity that God wants me to step through to share Jesus with others? Let me lead us in a prayer. Our Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness to us. Thank You that You are a God that we can trust all the time. Lord, You know our hearts here today. You know the challenges that we're facing in our personal lives. Maybe someone dealing with some health issues, maybe financial stress, maybe some job challenges, maybe some relational pressures. Lord, You know the particular needs of each person who's listening to me right now. I pray that You would demonstrate Your faithfulness to them in a fresh new way. And Lord, I pray that You would help them to see with Your eyes the doors of opportunity that are around. Lord, may we turn to You in prayer, and may we turn to You in worship and praise because of who You are. Lord, we thank You for what You have done and what You're going to do as we take steps forward in faith, trusting You. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.